Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Flott. We're live and local in the studio on your Wednesday morning. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy New Year as well, as we're looking forward to a 2024 year of just gangbusters here in southern New Mexico and Otero County. Well, as you've been hearing on the radio this morning with Mike, my guest this morning is State Senator Ron Griggs, District 34. Senator Griggs has been there for, about a dozen years already. And kind of what's unique about this, our state became a state back on January the 6th of 1912. And then on December the 11th, 2012, you were elected to the state Senate, correct? Pretty close.
Well, back in November of that year, I was elected, Bob. But
right.
Then I was actually sworn in on 12-12-12. So it's pretty easy to remember.
12-12-12, right.
Yes, sir.
And now you're ready to, after this session, retire.
Yes, sir, I believe so. I'll stay till the end of my term is the plan. But 25 years in politics, you know, because I was on the city commission and mayor for 12 and a half
right.
years.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it is. And, you know, you talk about somebody being a career politician. I don't quite want to be a career politician.
There you go.
But, you know, 25 years, somebody might say that.
Ron Griggs, I know we talked about this one other time when you were a guest on the air you followed your dad, Jim Griggs, into the city commission here in Alamogordo and everything. And Alamogordo, as you're aware of, when back a few years ago, was going through some troubling times. The city commission had some folks on it that just didn't think about the future of Alamogordo and what we should be doing. And we, when I had KPOS Radio, we initiated a new program called Plus Side. And my purpose of that program was to invite people into this station to go on the air with me in the morning once a week. And we'd talk about the good things going on around Alamogordo. And the first person I invited to go on the air with me was your dad, Jim Griggs. Jim, when we'd interview him, he was always positive. No matter what was going on in the background, your dad had a vision for the future and was able to articulate, this is Alamogordo. This is what we do. This is where we're going. We've got a lot of good going on. Let's not be overrun by that other story over there. And Jim was so good at bringing to reality the positive things about Alamogordo. And we had him on several times.
You know, he's a hard act to follow. That's for sure. You know, Dad loved the town.
I mean, yes.
We moved away when I was in the eighth grade. We'd moved down here when I was two. And we moved away when I was in the eighth grade for a year. And Dad just couldn't stay. He had to come back. And so we did. And he lived out the rest of his life here. But Alamogordo was important to him. Alamogordo is important to me.
Yes.
It's important to you. I mean, there's several of us that are still around that remember a lot of things in this town, remember what's happened where, you know, some of us, you, Bob, primarily know where the bodies are buried. But it's a, you know, this is quite the place. You look at it when Dad was on the city commission and he passed away in 99, you look at the growth in Alamogordo since then, and it's been tremendous. The things that Alamogordo lack are things we need to continue to work on and try to bring more amenities to the town, more things for kids and for us even to do, to be engaged in. And so once we get some of that in there, you know, it's hard to beat this place. You know, if we had a river running through it, that might be great. But
yes, it would be.
We're not going to get that one. But we're going to make, Alamogordo is going to be the place in the future. If this new city commission and this new city manager will complete the desalination facility, if Bonita Lake gets back online.
Yes.
There's not any arguments about Alamogordo at that point not having enough water to sustain development and growth. This is going to be a targeted place because all these other communities around have challenges that Alamogordo will not have.
And of course, that makes the strong statement for what's going to be happening years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, and man, I'm just blessed, and I've been fortunate to be a part of some of those things to kind of help this community move in a direction that I feel like is positive for it. It's going to be positive for the people that are here. But we got to have sustained and continual leadership. And I believe, you know, with this new commission, we can get some of that. I'm hopeful that with the new school board, things will work out with them.
Yes.
We will move forward with our schools and be positive about what we have here, because you know we have a lot here, and if we can tweak and we can mold, we can potentially do better for everybody, and that ought to be our goal. That ought to be our goal.
Senator Greg, let's kind of recap your history here in Alamogordo as a city commissioner and as mayor for the great city of Alamogordo. Highlight some of the things that, this is good. We've got this going.
Well, you know, Alamogordo, when we left, when I left the city commission, we had just passed a renewal of some quality of life bonds, and we put some things on track. You know, there's been a lot of improvements at the zoo, which the commissions have followed on with. After that quality of life bond, there's been some changes at the recreational facilities. I mean, those are things, Bob. I think, you know, people come to this town. They come to this town because of a job, or they come to this town because there's something they like about it. It's proximity to the mountains. It's senior center. It's golf course. It's tennis facilities. They like those things. There hasn't been anybody that I remember ever telling me that they came to a community because of the quality of their streets. Now, they get unhappy about their streets once they're here,
right. But
they don't come here for that. And so we need to remember those things as we work on this community to attract people here. What's it going to take? Either their job needs to be here or something they like needs to be here. And economic development's always been a challenge here. But that doesn't mean it's not going to change. It doesn't mean some opportunity is going to come up. Doesn't mean that because of the water situation that we are going to be blessed with, that people say, you know what, that's the place. That's the place I want to be at. I'm I'm an hour and a half from an airport, major
right.
airport to get me anywhere. We don't need to talk about how far. We just need to talk about how the time schedule is to get there. Because you can live in Houston, you can live in Dallas, you can live in New York, and those places will take you longer to get to the airport than it takes us to get to the El Paso airport.
Yeah. And you know, the Alamogordo Center of Commerce is still working on a flight from the Alamogordo International Airport to Dallas, because of all the flights from Holloman Air Force Base, the city, and other folks that travel that area, and that's one of their goals here in the near future.
You know, the cities on the east side, Roswell, Clovis, Hobbs, Carlsbad, all have flights to Dallas.
Yes.
And they do that because of, you know, some of the industry that's over there that promotes it and then needs it. None of them are quite as close to a big airport like we are.
Right.
So we have that challenge that sits there. But last year, Senator Burt and I introduced a bill that would allow for state help for airports like Alamogordo should they ultimately get the opportunity to bring in another airline here. So that should be a good thing.
So is that going to be coming up again during this 30-day session?
Oh, no, that passed.
Oh, that did pass.
That passed last session. Uh-huh.
So it's in the offing for sure.
Yes.
That airport running.
Yes. You know, it just depends on how hard the community works, how much the community feels like it's the need over some other need. Because one thing that's still challenging about Alamogordo, about other communities, is your tax base, your tax rates, and how in the world you you align that with what you believe is the need of the community. And so that's what this commission will have to come up with on what directions they need to go. You've got a new city manager who I'm hopeful can help them and give them...
Mr. Holden, yeah.
Yeah, I believe, you know, that's one of the things that I was fortunate to have when I was on the city commission is I had a city manager that had been here for 10 years. There were, you know, people agreed and people didn't agree, you know, about some of that. But the truth is that when you have some consistency and you have people who can talk to you about things and help you understand, that's important. And this commission and the commission since I left have had continuing turnover with the city manager's office. And that just makes things harder for those commissioners to come to decisions that are impactful or positively impactful for the community.
Yeah. Senator Griggs, you mentioned the fact about the desalinization plant. You know, it's been in discussion for a long time and everything else. Do you think we're going to get that back on track so it really does happen?
I hope so. I mean, you need to, that needs to be a focus of the cities.
Right.
But the, I think all they need for that right now is a pipeline. And that pipeline, you know, the Water Trust Board funds those things. The city just needs to get organized and see what it is that, they need to do to get that accomplished. Because once that's done, then the desalination facility can be open and running. Bonita Lake is, as I understand it, ready to maybe next year deliver water to the city. Bob, we'll be in places we haven't ever been.
Right.
Because we'll have that lake back and dependable. Because when I was on the commission, it wasn't until the latter part of that time that we were able to have a pipeline that didn't break due to pressures in the water coming down the hill. So you have a good line for the Bonita pipeline, for the Bonita water. You just don't have a completion of the pipeline for the desalinated or the water that would be desalinated. So once you get that, though, man, you're loaded up.
We're ready to go with that for sure.
I hope so.
Senator, taking a look at your time in the state Senate, you had several accomplishments. Again, I want to highlight some of the things that you were successfully able to work with and make sure it happened.
You know, Bob, being a Republican in a Democrat-dominated Senate is very difficult to pass most of the things that you think you need to accomplish. But there were some bills that I was able to work on that we passed that are beneficial, I believe, to the citizens of New Mexico. The biggest one, the biggest one, and there's another one, but the biggest one dealt with liquor laws, reforming liquor laws. That was something that came up when I was on the city commission, and I carried that forward to the Senate, and I introduced bills for years to try to get some changes made to get something accomplished. Well, ultimately in 2019, I believe it was, Senator Maestas and some other members in the House introduced a liquor reform bill. It did several things, but one of the things it did was it allowed smaller restaurants to be able to acquire a liquor license to sell spirits. So if you're ceasing yours, you could get that license and you could sell margaritas. That, to me, put ceasing yours on the same footing as a Chili's or an Applebee's.
Exactly.
That could afford a $300,000 or more license. Liquor is a complex subject, and you want to be careful how you deal with it, because there are people that paid a lot of money for licenses. So this particular license has certain restrictions in it that I believe makes it value not as high as a guy that goes out and buys a $300,000 license. But that particular bill was carried by, again, Senator Maestas and others. I am not a signatory on that bill or a sponsor. But that particular thing that I just told you is exactly one of the bills that I introduced previously. And the senator had asked me if I wanted to sign on to that bill, but there were other liquor bills and other liquor bills that I was on at that time. So I told him, no, you guys handle this one and I'll handle some of these others. They were successful. It's a good thing for the state.
A very good thing for the city as well. For some of our businesses here.
I hope so.
We hope so, yeah. Senator, let's take a look at the North Scenic Extension. That had been in the works a long time, as you're aware of, with the city of Alamogordo. And there had been some negotiating going on between the city and Union Pacific. Finally, a lady by the name of Sue Danicus grabbed a hold of that as one of her projects when she was on the board of directors of the Alamogordo Center of Commerce, and finally it happened. What kind of an economic impact overall could that have on our city?
Well, Bob, anytime you open up another main road, you have the opportunity for growth along that main road, commercial growth or whatever. We will see, you know, out there, because you have the overpass not too far from there, so the access around town was there. But anytime you can open up another road, you have other opportunities. And I'm hopeful that, again, you know, that's exactly what we will get, because there's a lot of stuff going on out at Mesa Village, and so the opportunities to get there more quickly. I think hopefully that'll help when they reopen the Family Fun Center. The access to it is better, and hopefully that will be good for that part of town.
Ron Griggs, if you were serving as mayor of the city of Alamogordo today, hint, if you were serving as mayor of the city of Alamogordo today, what would your goal be? What direction would you want to see us move in to better the life of all of us?
Bob, you know, that's one of those questions that, you know, I don't want to get too deep in something like that, because we got a commission that, you know, they're new. A couple of them are new. They need to have the ideas that they bring to the table.
Right.
And I'm hoping a lot, but I believe that these guys, as they look with this new city manager, they will come up with things that will be helpful to the city. I don't know. You know, maybe they want to put a pickleball court by the senior center. Maybe they want to focus on road work. There's all sorts of things that they could focus on and move toward and look at. You know, maybe you want to work with the tribal government and see what you can bring to the old sawmill. There's opportunities for them, and I believe that they'll jump in on some of them that they see. What they need to understand is, you know, they're the policymakers for the city. They can chart directions for the city. There's some things they don't need to get into too deep, because, again, they set policy. They determine direction. And my hope is that they'll figure out the directions they want the city to move in, and they will do that. Yeah. And if, you know, the good thing about being elected, or the bad thing about being elected, is if people don't like the choices you make, then you may not be there long.
That's right, yeah. Ron, you know, looking at all the good things going on in Alamogordo, and I'm like you, I believe in Alamogordo. We believe in the future of Alamogordo, and we want to be a part of that future and everything else. But people don't realize, when something comes up in discussion, whether it's in the state senate, whether it's down here in the city commission, county commission, or whatever, it's put on the drawing board, so to speak, I guess. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen next week.
Absolutely not. You know, it takes a while to do some things. And, you know, the desal deal is one of those. It's
right.
Been an expensive project for sure. But that started prior to 1999. And it's not yet hooked up. So when it gets hooked up, that will be the completion of 30, to 40 years worth of work trying to get that actually delivering water to this community. And, you know, one of the things that I think people need to understand is, I mean, that's the foresight of some folks. You know, there was the foresight to buy Bonita Lake. There was the foresight to purchase property in order to bring water to the city to be desalted.
That's over there on Lavelle Road.
Those are things that you had somebody out there coming up with the idea, coming up with the direction, and then understanding, and other members of the commissions understanding the importance of having that. You know, for years, you remember old Larry Schultz continued, argued, trying to bring in projects to Alamogordo from his position as on OCDEC. But Larry was oftentimes stymied because people wanted water, and we couldn't deliver that to them. Once the desal's there, once Bonita Lake's there, once the other wells, the other water from the mountains are continuing to be available, Alamogordo sits right ready to bring in any number of things. The goal is never to bring in something that's a high water user, but the goal is to bring something in that could provide jobs for our community at a level that is higher than maybe the normal rate is today.
Talking about the desal plant, let's go back to 1980 or 81. I think it was 81. There was a bond election here in the city of Alamogordo. I think it was for $1 million to try to get that bond approved to help bring that desal plant into reality in Alamogordo. And I think it was 81 or whatever. That did pass and everything else. So was that the actual beginning of this movement?
You know, Bob, I would tell you that was the time that there was a focus on it.
Right.
Because if you remember, the bond passed, but the bond passed and there was federal dollars that were going to be allotted to help get that done, and those federal dollars didn't come through for whatever the reason. So ultimately, the city used the money with that bond not to build a desal facility, but to clean up and work on the access to the access points on the springs and other stuff, which, you know, that was one of those deals that got some of the public unhappy, is because they were taxed and the desal facility didn't come through. But the way those bond questions are worded, the way the language in the law is it's for the desal or other water projects. And so what happened is the community was able to get benefit from that, even though they didn't get a desal facility at the time.
Ron, we're almost out of time. This could go on forever and everything else, but you've had all of these years serving us, whether it's on the Alamogordo City Commission, Mayor of Alamogordo, or State Senator and everything else. And that takes a commitment. It takes a commitment of personal time, time away from your wife, time away from your kids as they grow up, personal expenses. The state, the city doesn't pay for everything. A lot of times those trips you took were out of your own pocket. Your wallet got a little bit thinner and thinner and everything else. So why does a person like Ron Griggs make that commitment from his family, from his friends, from his businesses, or from his financial success? Why do you do those things?
You know, Bob, you do it, first of all, because you love the community you live
right in.
You're concerned about the state you live in. Those are the reasons, but, you know, you also sit there and understand that, you know, if you don't do it, somebody else will.
Right.
And sometimes that somebody else is not the person that you feel like can do it as good as you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it can go back to when, like, Little League baseball or anything. Who's coaching the team? Is it you or is it somebody else? And if somebody else, do they know what you know? Those are those things. I mean, I believe that when I got in it, it was just something that I thought, well, all right, I know the direction that Dad was headed. I know some of the things that they wanted to do. So I can step in and be somebody that can contribute relatively soon. I don't have to just completely sit there and listen and learn, because there's a lot of things I do know. So I thought that would be good, and it turned out well for me. I think during the time I was on the commission, we accomplished a lot of good things. We moved the city forward. We put it on track for other stuff. I'm proud of some of that occurred. I'm also proud of the time that I've had in the Senate, understanding the way things are up there. When we had a Republican governor, we didn't have a Republican legislature, except for 2 years when we had the House. But if you don't have all three, right. It really doesn't matter. What you bring to some of this is your voice, is your ability to relay some of the way your community feels about this issue or that issue. You know, we can jump up and down on a lot of things, or we can sit there and actually focus on the task at hand and see how we can relate to the other members of the Senate, the other members of the House, and actually maybe get them to change some of the direction that they want to go in. And the only way you do that, the only way you do that is through a little bit of time and relationship building with some of these guys. Now, there's a lot of them that have never voted against a Democrat bill. But this last time, Senator Burt and I were debating a bill dealing with the closing of the ICE facility down by Chaparral. And I had debated it, and Bill was debating it at the time. And while Bill was debating it, I was texting members of the Democrats to get them to try to help us cop that bill, to kill the bill. And ultimately they did. And Senator Hemphill from Silver City was the last one to vote in favor of our argument. And she is a pretty liberal-leaning Democrat. But when she did that, that bill failed by a vote of 19 to 18. And had it tied, well, the lieutenant governor, who's a Democrat, might have voted to pass the bill. So the relationship on that particular deal, getting Senator Hemphill, Senator Munoz, Senator Shindo, getting them to vote against that bill was something that people who were just elected would never be able to do. But because Bill and I have been there, and Bill and I know these people, we were able to get them to help us on that bill. Now, not every bill will they help us on, but they helped us on that one. And that one was critical to the economic livelihood of Otero County.
Yeah. Ron, as we get into the new year, we're stepping into a 30-day session, normally budget session, but will there be more items than the budget this year to talk about?
Mm-hmm. There will be. There will be. Put your guns in your pocket. Don't.
Yeah, that bothers me. I'm a Second Amendment guy.
The governor's coming after, yeah, guns, some way or another. And, you know, however she acted up there in Albuquerque, then what you've got is she sent a message to the Democrat legislators that she wants something that regulate guns some way. I don't know what the bills will be. I don't know who will carry them. I don't know if we'll be able to stop them. I'd say something's going to get through, but that's what's going to be the big argument. That's going to be the big deal, I think, up there. There'll be others. There's going to be tax packages. There's going to be things, but the one that's going to be the pot stirring stuff is gun control.
We're a gun toting state, though. Mm-hmm. Most of us, a large percentage of us, do own guns.
Yes.
A lot of us carry those guns in our vehicles when we travel.
Yes.
Yes, and everything else. So I think there would be an uproar from our New Mexico society if those guns are restricted.
You know, Bob, there's going to be an uproar, yeah. I think, for sure. One of the things that I've I believe that the governor is going to bring forward, she's going to bring forward a 14-day waiting period, you know, but that doesn't affect you carrying the gun in your car.
No, and I'm okay with that.
But it's who knows what else
right,
might
exactly.
come along. I'm guessing the Senator Heinrich introduced a bill federally, and I'm hearing that that same bill will be introduced in New Mexico. So I don't know exactly how that bill works, but you know, it's one of those bills that restricts what you can own. So is that a good bill or not? Just from that perspective,
right.
It says you can't have that one, Bob.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, the argument always going to be is that if good guys, you know, they don't have guns, well then bad guys are going to have them.
You bet.
And
bad guys will always be able to get guns.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. There's no, and so I don't, you know, behavioral health in New Mexico, behavioral health nationally is a big deal. I mean, people who are willing to take a gun of any type and walk out and shoot innocent people that they've never met, it's unbelievable that
right.
people will do that.
Yeah.
But that's not the gun's fault. That's the people and the person's fault, and we've got to figure out ways that we can deal with issues like that so they never go pick up that gun to go shoot the people at the mall or people at schools. You and I grew up in a time where, shoot, we carried, you know, guns all around.
You bet.
And
have them displayed in the back of the pickup truck, hanging up there.
Absolutely. And nobody thought anything about
no.
that. But we've got people running around out there that are just not mentally stable. And the fact that they're willing to do some of that stuff just is amazing. If you remember, the shooter at the University of Texas that was up in the tower.
Yes.
That, to me, is the first time I ever heard of anyone, you know, choosing to do a mass shooting. And it shocked everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and now, I mean, mass shootings shock us, but they're more common, so they're not, you know, it's not like that one was at that time, which was just, we'd never heard of the like.
Right. And because there are so many today and everything, and I hope people don't do this, but they just say, they take it for granted.
Right.
It's another mass shooting. Excuse me. But we're talking about human life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, guns are dangerous. We all know they are. Guns are dangerous. But, you know, they've had guys in England kill people with knives.
Yeah.
And a lot of people with knives.
Yeah.
And so maybe guns make it easier to kill more people. But the fact is that gun still didn't do anything without you right there with it.
Exactly.
And it's just, we'll have an interesting debate on those things. And hopefully that there's enough people argue the cause against the gun control bills that come up, and the Democrats will vote in a way to stop that. Because in the Senate, the numbers are 27 to 15.
Yeah.
So it's awfully hard for us to get enough votes together to beat back anything.
Right.
So...
Senator Ron Griggs, you know that I thought the world of your dad, Jim Griggs, because he did so much and was such a positive influence for our community and for me personally in my life and everything. And you bring the same credit to our community of being that positive motivational figure. And I'm just thinking about your life here, then thinking about your father, and I'm thinking about traveling down Fairgrounds Road. And I go by the Jim Griggs Sports Complex, where that new sign is right there.
It's a good-looking sign.
Good-looking sign. I see it all the time. There should have been some kind of a ceremony for it, but I guess they just installed it. Was there a ceremony for it? Because I didn't know about it.
You know, I haven't heard a word about it,
yeah.
You know, honestly.
But you've
seen the sign.
Yes, yeah. And it's a great-looking sign and everything else. So Ron Griggs drives by that, following a lot in his father's footsteps. How do you feel, Ron, when you look over and see that sign honoring your father?
You know, Bob, a lot of that stuff is when you look at that and you see the fact that people recognize that Dad accomplished some stuff, or at least he was a positive influence in Alamogordo. It makes you proud. You know, he's my dad.
Right.
So that is a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he will be remembered for that sort of stuff, hopefully forever.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've been able, me, I've been able to do some things that he, were he here, would be proud of.
Yes. And he is, and we are.
Well, we'll see. We'll see,
Bob. All right.
You know,
Ron,
I mean,
Ron, any final comments this morning?
You know, the thing, again, you go back to why you do stuff. And you do it because you want to make the place you live better.
Sure.
That's why you do it. And yeah. you get involved, and you love doing it. Because, listen, being in the Senate is an honor like hardly any other, mm-hmm. you know. It's the highest elected office in the state except for the governor. It's a great thing. And I'm going to exclude the lieutenant governor and the auditor and those guys that get elected statewide because they don't do anything.
Right.
We're the ones. And, you know, it makes you feel good when people choose to vote for you. It makes you understand the responsibility that you have, because you don't have just a responsibility to go up there and write legislation or debate bills. You have a responsibility to stand up for your community and have people around the state understand that, you know, you represent Alamogordo, you represent New Mexico, but you do it in a way that has some sort of you know, class to it. You aren't a loose cannon. You're really somebody that you hope that when people look back at things, they say, that guy, that woman, they did a good job for us, and we're glad they were there.
And that's what they'll say about you, but not for a long, long time yet.
You know, maybe we'll do some little political right, commentating, okay. Me and you, Bob.
All right, get it up. We got it together.
Yeah, I don't need any signs or anything like that.
There you go. Hey, our next guest coming up is Chris Orwalm, director of the New Mexico Museum of Space History. He's the guy that's done a lot in this community for tourism.
Correct.
And we're going to find out a lot about that this morning. He's Mike's guest coming up. I ran a little bit over this morning, but Chris Orwalm, Mike Gerler, forgive me. Forgive me. Thank you very much. They did.
Chris will forgive you.
I know you.
He will.
Yeah. You don't know about Mike, though.
No, I don't. I don't know about Mike.
What about the holidays? What's your wish to our community?
Thank you, Bob. It's been fun being up here.
Thank you very much.
So,
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
All
don't
right.
Stay out too late.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.